They sure looked a lot different from the Apache to the Comanche.
Well, they do a lot of them.
They were bigger men.
Oh, much bigger. They were. Well, King Powhatan must have been 7 feet or more.
Oh, what, really?
Yeah.
The records show that?
There's a drawing by White. You remember this guy White that drew so much of that artwork during that? I believe it's White. He drew a picture of Powhatan capturing John Smith. And I've seen the picture 100 times when I was a kid, and I never realized what it was. I thought there was a big guy there. And then he grabbed a kid. he would come about to hear on Powhatan in the drawing. But I have read since part of the history, and I'm still reading that book. It's a real good one.
The one we got to?
Yeah, you'll have to read that. And, well, it's got a lot of interesting stuff there. And the Indians just couldn't think that John Smith could be the chief of the boat. He was too small and runny and couldn't fight that good. So then the Powhatans had captured him and tried to kill him once. Everybody knows that story. Mm-hmm. She saved him. But anyway, Smith went to visit some of the other tribes. And they were very unimpressed with Smith. So he's too small, he couldn't be a chief.
At that time, you had to be a pretty good size.
Oh, yeah.
You had to beat up everybody else.
But the English women that came over here, a lot of them, they were picked up off the streets. So those are our ancestors.
Well, yeah.
But a lot of them, when they got over here, they refused to marry them English men because they were lazy. Now that's in the history too. And that's where the thing is, tall, dark, and handsome. They married Iroquois and women did. Says, heck, but these dumb English guys that won't even work.
You think they got the name, the term tall, dark, and handsome for those tall Indians?
I know it is. That's what them women call them, tall, dark, and handsome. They made better husbands and weren't lazy. So, that happened a lot of times, but they keep most of that out of the history in the school. Yeah. And a lot of that killing of Indians is disgusting.
But you know, this is the first time in a long time that anybody ever did a movie about the Indians just dancing with wolves.
Yeah.
That was on the Indian side,
yeah,
you know.
For a shame. I'm like that old Sioux woman who said, they finally got it right.
Because they talked about how much humor those Indians had. You know, they was laughing at that white man for a long time there.
Among Indians, they have a tremendous amount of humor. But after you get beaten, bruised, and your land stolen, you don't have many jokes or much respect for the white man.
Well, this was before the white man bothered them, I think.
Yeah. Well, Columbus his men sicked the dogs on them Indians and fed them on human flesh.
Yeah. They thought they were just like animals, you know.
Yeah. Well, some of the Christians back east said, we ought to stop killing those Indians, so the government always, you appoint a committee to investigate, see if they are just animals. That's what they were saying. They're just animals. Sorry to kill them. So they appointed a committee to investigate. And they went out and investigated the Indians, and they come back and say, yeah, you're right. They're just animals. It's all right. Go ahead and kill them.
Like wild pigs, huh?
Yeah, like wild pigs or something. Oh, Lord. Some of the stuff.
Well, I think there was a trial too once, trying just to prove that they were human, and they finally, I guess, one trial finally proved that they were human or something. Okay.
Oh, the United States. I guess the worst in the world is American people. They're the most vicious people on earth. When you consider the recent polls of the percent of the public in 100,000 population in Tokyo was less than 2% of committed violent crimes, in London around 6%, and in relation with the others, and Paris was terrible, it was 17%, and New York City was over 200% in relation. Now, who were the bad guys? It's disgusting. I don't know why we let the people eat it.
You don't have to eat it.
There was different. Don't do like Grandpa. Great house. He used to get on a health food kick every once in a while. The potato is the thing. Man, man, man. All of the strength is in the peelings. And he ate a big, he had been talking 2 or 3 days about that. So the next day, after giving this long talk to everybody, you should eat the peelings and all. Yum, 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 boy, and he was fierce talker. And so that next night, I think it was, Grandpa ate a potato, or two or three, peelings and all. The next morning, he said, any food? Let it eat peelings on a potato? All of me said, oh, no. And he ran, and he peed on the table.
He probably just ate too much.
Oh, God.
Because we eat peelings now.
I don't eat too much. I took a learning. So I ate all of the meat under the peeling up there. And a lot of times I'll chew up the peeling, but I spit the peeling out. But I think of that. And another time we was having a reunion. And we had that long table, and Charlie and Uncle Clarence and Flora B and Aunt Mary and Uncle Tim and Sarah and Roy Law and Brian and everybody, see? And the whole tribe was there, a great long table.
At the Great House Ranch?
No, at my house.
Oh, in Bertalis.
In Bertalis. So Mom had just about like this salt. She didn't have but one salt, so she didn't put that down here. And the sugar bowl here, and I think in the middle she had another one of these with sugar in it for the people in the middle, but this saw him with them, the grandpa. And he was brushing me by here. No,
one, two, three, eight.
I was doing this, grandpa, grandpa.
He's all over the house. My God, 3 spoons of salt don't help this coffee.
And he being a preacher, he wouldn't swear, but all his sons swore like sailors. So riding the reins and the cows and horses can be awful cantankerous. He said, you Calvary you awful beast! Couldn't brave himself to call him son of bitches. His sons have been doing it. Just call him a cow beast.
How about that little pair of mules that he had?
Oh, he had a pair of Spanish mules. And they were wild. I don't know how they had as many wild animals on the ranch. They were still before you could even catch them. And he never could break them things. If you say, whoa to them, boy, you ever dropped the reins and said, wait, now, hey, whoa, 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 they're gone. So he would tie. He finally learned after they run off and left him 3 or 4 miles from the gate. You'd get down, open the gate, and get through there, and tie the reins so they couldn't run away, and then slip around real quick, and fasten the gate, and get in, and then let them loose. Whoa! 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 And my God, off they go like mad. Running like mad. They think they're loose. God, he went to town one time. And one day went there and back to that
One day. It used to take 2 days.
Two days always. But he was getting some special part or something. Mm-hmm. Well, and he bought it and hopped back in that buggy and home he come again. That's 50 miles. That little
50 miles round trip.
What was it? Kind of a buckboard he was pulling?
Huh?
Was it a Surrey or kind of buckboard he was pulling?
No, it's a little light buggy.
Yeah, it had to be a light buggy.
It's a little light buggy. And they were small mules. They weren't very big. But my Lord, they were powerful. And they made that round trip in the daylight in one day.
Remember, they had names, did they?
I'm sure they did, but I forgot what their names were. I just remember him, he'd get them to run, and if they got lazy, he'd just loosen the reins and say, "Whoa there, whoa!" And all their names going off, they'd go. They think, "Boy, the old man left the reins. We can really get away now." Away they'd go. That's a good thing to remember. I always remember the funny things that happened.
Yeah. And Howdy stopped me and said, "Get up, go, 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 go."
He quit saying that, they caught on. But two or three times when he said, "Whoa, and the reins are laying on the ground, boy," and he had to walk about 4 or 5 miles. And they run from home without him.
I'd love to know him, you know, he was...
He was my character, he sounded
like Lucille and Margaret Francis, they still... He quit saying that, they caught on. But two or three times when he said, "Whoa, and the reins are laying on the ground, boy," and he had to walk about 4 or 5 miles, and they run from home without him.
I'd love to know him, you know, he was...
He was my character, he sounded
like... Lucille and Margaret Francis, they still hate him. Mm-hmm. He lived with them, and they'd sass him, and he'd threaten them and give them a bad time.
Well, who was it?
Grandpa Greathouse. Isaac R. Greathouse.
Oh, okay.
He wanted to bury him for
time. It would have been Grandma Whiteman's father.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay.
His grandfather.
My grandfather.
My great-grandfather, your great-great-grandfather.
Yeah. They were German people that came from Germany.
But now, didn't they go through England too?
No, they came, the two brothers came direct to Philadelphia.
From Germany?
From Germany, from Dresden, Germany, in that area. And that they left for the end of the 6-year war in Germany, and some of them thought they might have been German Jews. Now, where they were, or weren't.
The encyclopedia, it sounded
pretty true.
She was raised, according to this, she was raised in France, and then...
They were rich over there.
Yes, yeah, she was raised in a rich family and very pampered, and then, I can't remember, it was real involved though, and she was sent then
to Scotland.
To Scotland. And it was real involved. She in some ways, she brought it on herself. In some ways.
It could have been.
She brought, not totally, but her cousin didn't want to have her killed. Anyway, the way they portrayed it.
Yeah.
And, but it just,
the,
in
the
a way, she
kinda
was...
kind of turned away and...
ignored as much as she could.
Yeah.
And
well,
then
the Kaiser was a cousin.
Kaiser Wilhelm?
Yeah. He was a cousin to King of England.
Big family. Were all kin.
We're all the same family.
Well, it's interesting, though.
That guy I knew taught art in the university there. He was a prince, and his father was the king of Lithuania, one of those little countries up there, and he's supposed to grow up and marry one of the princesses and be king in his father's place. Then he came to New York. He had already studied in all the schools of art in Europe. then came to Arizona and married an Navajo. He had one son. His son looked very English though, but Niels Hoegner. Hoegner was the king of one of them little countries over there. He was a fine artist and I liked him real well. He was a real fine man. I wish I could have stayed and learned more from him.
But, well, now where were you studying with him?
In Albuquerque at the university.
Oh, that was when you were just a young man.
Yeah, 1930.
Mm-hmm. And he was a teacher of art.
He was a teacher. He had a... He came out here once and he kept hearing about how marvelous the sunlight was out here and how beautiful the hills and the red and the skies and the sunset. They finally talked him in to come out here. So he came out here to Arizona or someplace and he painted for two or three days and he finally threw the paint in the ground and stomped the brushes and went back to New York. There ain't nobody can paint them colors of their sobriety. You can't paint that way. And stormed and he left the whole mess.
He's probably painting. Used to paint with darks and grays.
Yeah, yes,
that's the way it is in those countries. Well, you never see very much that color in Shady Point. The skies are always lead colored. And you get in, all those old masters were in that kind of swampy country. And that's the way the skies were, and that's the way you painted them. But then Niels finally changed his mind, came back with $60,000. Now that was a lot of money in them days.
I guess that would have been.
You got that from his folks in the old country?
I imagine a lot of it was. I don't know what he did in New York. Now he got about $500 for a portrait painting. So he may have made quite a bit in New York off of it.
Yeah, five at that time,
that would have been
a lot of money, $500.
But he says his $60,000, he lost that in the first day out here. He bought one of them sharp Indian traders out there, Jews or whatever he was, Indian trader, and he ended up with a trading post and no money. But he ran that for a long time and finally I think they foreclosed on him and that's when he came to the university and taught art there for I don't know how long he taught. But when he came there I took one semester with him. That's the only A I made and couldn't count it in school.
Oh. Why couldn't you count it?
I had too many classes.
Oh.
I should have dropped Spanish or English or something.
Should have dropped the lowest grade you had.
Well, yeah, and most of them weren't pretty low.
Did he have an accent?
No, he spoke good English. They talk a little bit different than them Lithuanians or whatever he was. I forgot the exact country, but it was a kingdom. And during that time, he got a telegram that his father had passed away. And he was moaning around for two or three days, pretty sad about his father passing on. But then he separated from his Navajo wife. She didn't come with him to Albuquerque. And he finally married another woman and moved back east someplace. But I felt real privileged to have been able to paint with him for a semester.
How long did you go to school there?
One semester.
One semester.
I didn't have no money. Took a lot of money then. $30 a month.
1930, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. 1930.
Well, how did you even manage the one semester?
I borrowed all my sister would send me and Aunt Clara sent me some money. And Pop bought me a new suit. One of them Cheeseman's at, forgot the name of the place here.
Rhodes Men's Store?
No, it was
Carmen?
One of the guys had a cleaning shop here and he'd get some suits, tailor-made suits that hadn't been sold from some store. And we could get them pretty cheap. He bought me one of those. And I've saved a lot of money for that time when I went to Boy Scout camp, see, and I had all that to start with. And then I had money in the post office, and I used all of that up and all that I had in my pocket and all I could borrow.
What do you mean the money you had in the post office?
Well, we used to put money in the post office just like you do a bank.
You mean?
Oh, in the post, really?
They don't do that anymore. But they, that was just like a bank. You could deposit it in the post office just like that.
You didn't write a check on it.
You drew it out. It went there and you could draw out whatever you wanted whenever you wanted to draw it out. Like a savings account. So I drew all that out and I was about broke and I spent about the last of it coming home for Christmas. So I went back and finished up the class and what did I do? I forgot. I come back here and went to work or did something, but I didn't go back to school anymore there. I did go back and went back and traded with Indians quite a bit, messed around that way, just hoboing around.
Well, you said you went and lived with some of them or stayed with some of them for a while.
Yeah,
was
San
that
Domingo
after?
And San Felipe, that is during the 30s, 31, 2, and 3. Stayed out on the ranch some, worked with Pop some, sold jewelry some, all that kind of stuff. Nothing ever panned out but money, real money. In this country, you got to be have a big ranch or a trade of some kind. You could work, make real money, you could be a banker or a big sheep man or something. But I wasn't none of that. And I didn't want to go. Now, I worked one fall up to, through Christmas for this civil engineering out of Amarillo for the Santa Fe. But I quit that. I got sick and tired of that freezing weather.
Well, what were you doing?
We were surveying for a railroad to be built up into Oklahoma.
So you're doing actual surveying work?
Yeah, we're surveying work. Civil engineering, they call it. And I was a back flagman. The hole of a pole there so he could get a sight on it and shoot from this point to the next point. So you got so many 100 feet, so measured by 100 feet, drive a stake. When you get about a mile, then he'd signal for me to come on up and I'd get on that last peg he had and he'd take a, he'd go on forward, signal back to me and I'd hold that pole up straight and when I got it good and straight, one way or another, then they'd measure and another guy would drive stakes, see, in a straight line up to him. And then I'd move up and you just kept going. We made 10 miles one time. That's about the most we ever made.
Were you just walking there?
Yeah, walking.
But that...
We had...
Was it, you either got blown to death, no, in this country, you was either blown to death, pelted with sand, froze to death with snow, or you was baked and there wasn't a breath of air in the sky and burned to a crisp. One of those.
Well, up there... Two guys got in a fight, and they both had so much clothes on them, and coats, and caps, and gloves, they got in a big fight, and we all we voted on it. They want to know which one won, and we said we was no combat. It's like two bears. When you hit him, it didn't hurt him. We had those... sheepskin coats, you remember those? Lord, they're that thick.
Yeah.
You know, all that wool in there. Then you had on long handles and a wool shirt and an undershirt and boots and then six button overshoes on top of that. And wool pants, and Lord, you couldn't hardly move, you had so many clothes on. So they were, oh gosh, there were some crazy guys in that bunch. Two of them, old Tommy Word, he's about the only one I remember his name, he was the boss of the transitman. So we went, I don't remember why we weren't working, it was too cold, I think, I remember. Something, anyway, we went over in the pond on that river hadn't froze over yet, and that Tommy Word found a dead fish there, and this other smart other guy was always betting something, and he left the fish over there and said, I'll bet you $5 that I can dive into this lake and come up with a fish. I'll take that, Bill. And so he stripped off naked, got that fish and dived in and come up and held that old fish. And that other guy paid him the $5. I wouldn't have gone in that water for $20.
I was like, that's a hard way to earn $5.
Oh, Lord. I fell in that darn thing one day, though. It froze over the Canadian River, and there are a little springs along. See, mm-hmm. And that ice was...
Yes.
And I stepped on that thin ice, and I, the same way, I fell in there, and with all them clothes, I couldn't even turn over. I'm just laying there. The guy watching me said, why in the hell didn't you get out of that thing? Why didn't you just lay there? But I told him I couldn't. I'm doing the best I could. He helped me out, finally. And we built a big fire. I wasn't completely soaked, didn't go from under anything. I had too many clothes. But all my pants and my boots and socks. And I stood so close to that fire, I burnt the back of the pants off on both legs. He called fire and burnt off.
That's been hard on your seat.
Oh, it didn't burn me.
You feel heat at all? You had some clothes off.
It never got through all that. I finally got dried out. But I didn't get even too warm with the fire, but my pants burning. Oh, God. This world, one more.
Kathy, you can keep your scoot for me. Dad, I'm going to get a picture of you.
Okay.
Just sit.